Western Cape independence has to be one of the stupidest, most short-sighted, and ridiculous ideas in South African politics right now. In this video, I'm going to explain exactly why. It's philosophically and legally bankrupt, as well as just strategically and politically bankrupt. And after that, we'll explain why it's doomed to fail and why it shouldn't be taken seriously. Let's get into it. Spread the fire. Welcome back to SMWX. Yes, we're going to have some fun on this episode because really, I'm usually quite conservative and contained in my language. But this Western Cape independence thing is just so far removed from reality and in such a dream world that it really needs to be called out. So in today's episode, I'm number one, going to explain why this idea is philosophically and legally laughable. And then I'm going to talk about how it's also just strategically impossible and based on very little political support at all. So let's get started. Western Cape independence, or this idea that the Western Cape can break away or succeed or become separate entirely as a state from South Africa, it's an idea that seems to be gaining traction at some weird conferences, and some people are starting to talk about it like it's a real thing. And effectively, they're trying to make it seem like it's an idea that could actually happen, when in reality, if you look at it, not only is it completely philosophically just silly, it's also legally impossible and hugely impractical. Let's just come on to some of the weird things that Western Cape separatists have said in the past and what they base their idea on. The whole idea of Western Cape independence is an attempt to stretch the idea of self-determination, which is a legitimate concept in international law and also in the South African Constitution, to stretch that concept to mean that it would protect privileged, entitled minorities who have been the beneficiaries of history for centuries. And it's an attempt to stretch that idea so far that it breaks to the point of, you know, being absurd. So these Western Cape separatist movements take the word self-determination and then say, well, because self-determination exists in certain texts like the Constitution and international law texts like the Covenant on Socio-Political Rights and the African Human Rights Charter, because they have those words, they automatically get a chance to break away from South Africa and create Western Cape independence. The fact of the matter is that nothing of the sort is true. And it's really based on a pernicious misunderstanding between self-determination and separatism. You see, self-determination is a noble concept that comes particularly from the history of colonialism, when many South Africans, Black South Africans, were actually put under the boot of colonial empires, and they weren't able to create their own governments because governments from outside controlled their territories via violent and abusive force. And so it became necessary, as the process of decolonization unfolded and ultimately became a key principle of international law, to make sure that people couldn't be controlled by external colonial states and that they would self-govern their own political territory, that they would generate the right to govern themselves rather than to be governed from the outside, usually by an occupying power. So that's really the origin of legitimate self-determination. Now, Cape independence people take this idea because it exists in the Constitution and other international law, and they say, oh, it means we can break away. That's separatism. See, self-determination is based on a legitimate historical claim. It has broad support that has been building up for a long time within a population, and it often has a restorative intent, an intent to regain a lost political autonomy. Separatism is based purely on political motivations. It's when a movement arises not because of some historical tie or some deep form of oppression, but because they're unhappy with policies. And because that group is dissatisfied and spoilt because they don't like the policies of a certain government, they then say, well, then we're going to break away because we don't like what the government is doing. That's not self-determination. That's separatism. Separatism is when a movement has limited support and they hold the rest of a population over the barrel of a gun by saying that we will break away from this territory, even though we're a minority. There is absolutely no political support for Western Cape independence, as I'll go on to show later. It's effectively the attempt of a minority within a minority within a minority to take a loudhailer, which some South African media platforms are falling for, and to pretend as if they have a louder voice than they really do. So it's a minority movement based on political gripes about policy directions. And it's really about self-interest, not self-determination. And we will soon see that in terms of the legal instruments in South Africa, there is absolutely no basis for separatism. And what Western Cape independence is about is separatism, not self-determination. So let's come to the Constitution. It's really funny to me. The Cape Exit Party, or whatever they're called, has this... they have this thing where they try to justify constitutionally why Western Cape or Cape Exit would be constitutional. And they go to... I'm going to bring this up on the screen. They go to Chapter 14, Section 235 of the Constitution. And this is what they say. It says, the Constitution recognizes and guarantees, and then, quote, they open the quotation, dot, dot, dot. How do you start a quote with dot, dot, dot? So, like, you're literally telling everyone you're leaving out the context, but you've still started the quotation. That's a bit weird. And then they give you the sentence, then there's another dot, dot, dot. So their whole constitutional argument is based on dot, dot, dot. But between the dot, dot, dots, they say the Constitution recognizes, quote, the right of self-determination of any community sharing a common cultural heritage, cultural and language heritage, within a territorial entity in the Republic, dot, dot, dot. So that suddenly sounds like, hey, hold on a second. The Constitution allows for anyone who wants to break away on the grounds of self-determination. Well, let's actually read what the Constitution actually says about self-determination. So I'm going to bring up Section 235 of the Constitution, and we're going to see what all these dot, dot, dots are hiding. So if we go to Section 235, what we see is that it says, let me just scroll there, self-determination. The right of the South African people as a whole to self-determination. So it's talking about the entire nation's right to self-determination, which has a political history of South Africa becoming one nation, particularly after apartheid. So that right of all of us to have self-determination in this one nation, the South African people as a whole, as manifested in the Constitution, does not preclude within the framework of this right. That's the dot, dot, dot that they missed out. That whole sentence about the fact that the right to self-determination is circumscribed within a larger right of the nation of a whole to self-determine. So that's what they left out of that crucial section of the Constitution, which says that the entire framework takes place within the nation as a whole. Anyway, they left that out, and then they get onto the recognition of the notion of the right to self-determination of any community sharing a common cultural and language heritage within a territorial entity in the Republic. Then they say dot, 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 which actually says, or in any other way determined by national legislation. Oops, so they missed that one out too. So you'd need a national law, and it would have to be circumscribed within the wider parameters of the Constitution and the nation as a whole. So this idea that Section 35 of the Constitution gives people the right to run around and claim independence and separatism so that they can break away from South Africa is just, quite frankly, flighty and fanciful. Okay, so we know that. Now I just want to take a look at this other thing I found in a manifesto. The Cape fulfills all the criteria of Section 35 because, number one, it's a territorial entity. Okay, so because you're a place in the world, you get to secede. Bizarre. Okay, number two, Afrikaans is the majority common language heritage in the Cape. Okay, it's also a South African language. So just because a lot of people speak Afrikaans, suddenly it's now its own territory. So in any place in South Africa where Afrikaans is the majority language, it should break away. What about other language groups anyway? And then three, this is the best. In 1652, the blend of... What kind of history is this? The blend. So in 1652, Jan van Riebeeck came here to blend. So in 1652. No, man. How are people taking this seriously? In 1652, the blend of Khoisan and Dutch began. Out of nowhere, it began a culture that today forms part of the Cape. So that's what happened in South Africa, everyone. 1652, there was a blend. And now we have a culture that deserves its own state. I mean, you can't script this stuff. That's the argument. That's what they believe would allow them to constitutionally create an independent republic. It's the kind of stuff that only sci-fi novels would entertain. Then they have this whole thing about international law is going to come and save them. And they focus on the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Once again, this is not a license in international law for anyone to just become a separatist. It's a very circumscribed convention or covenant, which basically is to do with things like the civil rights movement in the United States and the way that minorities can actually be oppressed by their governments, by being denied voting rights or in apartheid being segregated into special parts of a country which are not preferable, like happened with the Group Areas Act in South Africa. That's not what's happening in South Africa to people in the Western Cape. They're living their best lives. Oppression is not because you weren't able to get an almond latte yesterday or something, right? That's not the kind of oppression that would allow you to invoke the Covenant on Civil and Political Rights at the United Nations. There would have to be the demonstration of some kind of deep oppression of a minority in the Western Cape. What is the oppression? Not being able to go to the beach as much as you want to? Like, I just don't get what the big oppression that is happening that would militate towards invoking these international rights treaties. So people in the Western Cape are not oppressed. They may not like the policy direction of the ANC. Welcome to the club in many cases, but you just have to become a normal citizen who makes your case for policy to change rather than trying to be a spoiled brat and say that you're going to take your ball away from the playground if the game doesn't go the way you want it to go and you lost the game. You lost the democratic game of not winning hearts and minds of the population. So really, there's no legal basis. And just to close off this book, you have to look at Section 35 of the Constitution in the context of Section 1 of the Constitution, which says, and I quote, it's called the Republic of South Africa. Number 1, Section 1, the Republic of South Africa is one sovereign democratic state founded on the following values. And then it goes on to list the values. The unitary nature of the South African state is the first provision, the first founding provision in the Constitution. And so there is absolutely no constitutional basis for some kind of bizarre breakaway based on victim mentality and a contortion of international and South African law. Cool. So let's come on to the political and the strategic level, because it's philosophically and legally bankrupt. But what's even more funny about this movement is that it has absolutely no political support, despite the fact that it's been around for a very long time, 10, 15 years of trying to get people to come to the table on this issue and still nothing doing. So let's look. I know there's this new referendum party now, which struggled its way onto the ballot, apparently, by the skin of its teeth, by the looks of things. But this draws on previous other kinds of parties and collections of politically, ideologically weird people who just don't get that they don't have the political support for their project. So let's look at some election results, because these parties have been contesting elections for a while. Now, in the 2016 municipal elections, the Cape Independence Party scored the massive total of 4,473 votes, equating to 0.01% of the vote in that election they contested. In the 2021 municipal elections, they managed to secure an increase of their vote to 0.06% of the vote, garnering a whopping 17,881 votes. Yet the referendum party tells us that their strategy is to get 100,000 votes in this election, which again is not a lot of votes. You would expect a referendum party that was driving a serious political campaign in an electorate of tens of millions of people to maybe garner more than 100,000, but their high point is 100,000 votes, right? So they think that they can maybe get 1-2% of the electorate. And somehow that is supposed to, that's their high watermark. They're not going to get there. But so the fact of the matter is that this just doesn't have the kind of political support that would actually be necessary for even the start of entertaining independence. What they really want to do is blackmail the DA into bowing to their extremist demands, and then using that blackmail to piggy bank into a referendum in which they then blackmail rich people to give them a lot of money so that the entire South African media cycle can be concentrated on Cape Independence. And through that, they want to get a resource advantage and then try to drive home some kind of referendum campaign that would take them to the finish line. Now, even on this bizarre scenario in which South Africa drops everything in the middle of our multiple different crises and entertains a divisive, unnecessary, dangerous, and silly referendum, they still wouldn't have the political support, because it would require them to go from this 1% that they're really at to half of the electorate. And then there would be questions about how you compose that electorate. Would it just be the Western Cape? Would there be other people in South Africa, etc.? But the fact of the matter is we're not even getting to that referendum, because it's such a distant prospect, it's such a silly goal that it would never happen. But the strategy seems to be based on blackmail. Get into the provincial legislature, and then if the DA is maybe struggling to get 50%, then make a demand to the DA that you'll only give them 50% if they agree to a referendum. And then try to use the media focus on that referendum to try and pull a rabbit out of a hat and get an interesting result, which doesn't seem likely at all on the facts. So it's a blackmail strategy, political blackmail of an extreme proportion. And here's my problem. There's all this talk about radical people and populists. Anytime someone says that wealth needs to be redistributed for fairness in South Africa, anytime someone says that land needs to be redistributed because of the way that land was dispossessed, they get denounced as this radical populist who should just be silenced and is unconstitutional. And then you actually have radical populists talking about breaking the constitution, ripping the Western Cape away from South Africa. And they don't get called radical populists. They get called like to conferences to come and talk about their ideas. It's really quite shocking, and it shouldn't really be entertained. But we're having fun today, so I thought I would just explain why I think it's so short-sighted. So really, there's no chance of this ever happening. There's no political support for it on the ground. I'm not even going to get into the racial dimensions of it and the way that it plays into the colonial and apartheid history of the attempt by a minority of the white population. This is not even supported by a majority of white South Africans, but a minority within a minority within a minority, which just can't live in a black majority country and will throw up all kinds of excuses to explain why they don't want to live within a black majority country. First, apartheid was tried to put black people in to segregated areas. And then when liberation happened, now the new attempt is to enclave and segregate white South Africans away from the rest of the country. And the fact of the matter is there's just no philosophical, legal, strategic, political, or economic basis for any of this at all. So the only thing that worries me slightly is that the Democratic Alliance has gone into what's called a devolution working group with some of these bizarre forces, including, I think, the Cape Independence Party and the Referendum Party or some of their civil society offshoots. And that is rather bizarre because I don't know why the DA would risk its reputation joining with these extremist radical forces that are intent on wreaking havoc and sowing disunity in South Africa. What is the purpose of this devolution working group? Devolution, sure, is one thing, but why do you include Western Cape separatists in the working group? It just doesn't make any sense to me, and it really tarnishes the image of the DA as a party that has this message of building one united South Africa. And yes, they disagree with ANC policy, but to flirt with Western Cape separatism is a bridge too far, and I think is really bizarre from the DA. Now, of course, Cape separatists and extremists often think that the DA is a big stumbling block, and they also criticize the DA tremendously because it's not calling a referendum. So the DA seems caught between, on the one hand, kind of allowing these groups to gain more of a voice and lending them legitimacy by going into formal working relations with them, but on the other hand, being criticized by them because it's not calling a referendum fast enough. And I think the DA is putting itself into a very difficult corner by trying to speak with both sides of its mouth on this issue. Having said that, today we just tried to review the question of Western Cape independence. I, for one, using the freedom of speech allowed to me in the Constitution, and that's a true constitutional right, denounce this as berserk, denounce this as silly and embarrassing. And I think all those who have attempted to stand on the side of Western Cape independence should really have a look at themselves and be called out for the dangerous, just silly, just misguided, and foolhardy way in which they have entertained and proposed this question. And I move, fellow members of SMWX, that we no longer entertain any talk of Western Cape independence because it just doesn't make sense. Aye.